And this will be the eighth time I've taught this message. Seems like whenever I seek the Lord on what He wants me to preach on, it always comes back to the prayer hedge. This message is burned into my spirit, and I'm not gonna apologize for that. Because every time our shepherd, our ministry gift, or any member of his family takes a shot, I take it personally. It happened on my watch. It happened on our watch. So, praise God he's in the house this morning. Amen. But that just shows you how much it's needed. And look, I know it was a man-made virus. I know that. I know it's just a form of the common cold or the flu. Unfortunately, it's been supersized intentionally by man. All right? And we've all been exposed to it. Whether you got the symptoms or not, you've been exposed. And I also know that Jesus didn't die on that cross 2,000 years ago so that man could suffer what he suffered. I know that. Amen? We've all been taught, church. We know everything I'm going to speak of this morning. There's nothing new here. But if you're anything like me, you need reminded from time to time. And the other thing is, I'm commanded to be obedient. In fact, we all are. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Is that too much to ask this morning? All right. We're still Pentecostal here, right, Doc? Okay. God's word tells us in 1 Samuel 15:22 that obedience is better than sacrifice. Just be obedient the first time. Then you don't have to go back and say, Lord, I'm sorry I blew it again. I know from experience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Say that. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Then in Isaiah 1:19, he promises, if we are willing and obedient, we shall eat the good of the land. I don't know about you, but I want me some of that good of the land. All right? So, church, we're in another period of transition. I'm convinced that our lives are going to be a constant state of transition, but we've lost some key members of our leadership. Cal and Christy moved to Texas. Elder Denny moved to heaven. But we got a new tag team in the sound booth, although both of them made me sweat this morning. What happened to that slide, Ashley? I needed my bifocals to read that. The words just went from this to this. Hallelujah. And then Teddy made me sweat. He forgot that we need monitors up here to sing with tracks. But I love them both. They're a blessing here. We've got a couple new deacons. Brother Rory is on camera this morning. And his lovely wife is back there sitting there. And we got Brother John, who gave the wonderful prayer this morning, and his wife. We are blessed to have them, church. And at the same time, we're excited to see the new faces that God's brought in here. Excited. You're not here by accident. You were planted here. My advice, grow where you're planted. Amen? And fortunately, our ministry gifts, Pastor Jack and Teresa, and the rest of the Robinson family have remained steady and constant. Amen? They have been strong throughout the last 7 years, church. 7 years. And their assignment is to take this ministry to the next level. I'm going to tell you, they can't do it alone. It's going to take each and every one of us. See, he's a gift. We're going to talk about that in a minute, but he's a gift. And the purpose of the gifts is to train us up to do the work of the ministry. What's the work of the ministry? Everything that goes on here, everything that should go on in the streets, bringing people in to make sure that these full seats are filled to capacity. Amen?
Yep.
That's our job. The message this morning is titled Prayer Hedge Commitment 2022. We're going to talk about ways that we're going to be able to make that all happen. So with that said, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to start in verse 8 this morning. This is the New Living Translation. Ephesians 4, verse 8. I still hear pages turning. I'll wait. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended, who's he? Jesus, good. To the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Who's that? Us. You guys are on fire this morning. Look down to verse 11. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Now correct me if I'm wrong, but there's not a whole lot of gray area there. Jesus gave gifts to us. The gifts were apostles, prophets, evangelists, exactly, pastors, and teachers. We know that as the fivefold ministry. They are the fivefold ministry gifts. All right, let's look a little further to see why he gave us ministry gifts. Down to verse 12, taking the gloves off. This is the Amplified Classic. His intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people. Look at somebody and say, he's talking about you. Look at somebody else and say, he's talking about me. That they should do the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body, the church. Listen to verses 11 and through 13 from the Message. He handed out gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher to train Christ's followers in skilled servant work, working within Christ's body, the church, until we're all moving rhythmically and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature adults developed within and without, fully alive in Christ. Wow. Wow. I think we have a ways to go. Amen? But we're getting there. So, again, where did the gifts come from? They came from God. Who gave them to us? Jesus. Who did he give them to? Us. Say me. Okay. So, they are ministry gifts. That means you didn't pay for them. You didn't steal them. They were given to you. They are gifts. So I used this example before. If I took a $100 bill out and said, Timmy, I want to give you this $100 bill. Timmy might get excited. He might say, man, I've been believing for a $100 bill. And he might even tell somebody, man, how do you know that? That's the exact amount that I wanted. Has anything changed? No, because I'm still holding the bill and he's still excited about it. What am I saying? You have a gift, you need to receive it. Receive the gift that's been given to you. The same goes for ministry gifts, and in particular, Pastor Jack Robinson and Teresa Robinson. We are blessed to have them, church. That was weak. We are blessed to have them, church. You're going to have to come alive. The man will probably be back soon, so you need to get with it. Amen? All right. On March 15th, 2015, I stood right behind where Pastor's sitting, and I witnessed the mantle being placed upon him and Teresa. I witnessed it. And with that mantle came the assurance that the ministry, the excellence of the ministry of ACA would continue. And it has. Amen? Amen. We are blessed, church. So I exhort you this morning to receive your pastors, plural. See, God gets two for one. We witnessed it. He gets two for one. He got Rory and Stacy, right? He got John and Janice, tag teams. He got Debbie and I. He got Pastor and Teresa, two. They deserve to be honored, church. They deserve it. And God, when he anointed them, he equipped them to do all that he's called them to do. I know that because I pray that over them every single morning. that, Lord, you would perfect the things that concern them, that you would give them supernatural strength in the name of Jesus. And, Father, you equip them to do all that you called them to do. They don't have to do it in their own strength. That's my prayer over them. I know this couple. I have for many years. Some of you this morning have known them longer than me, but I've gotten to know their hearts, folks. And I can stand in this pulpit that I respect so much and tell you without hesitation that we have God's best in Pastor and Teresa. We have His best. When you're encouraged and strengthened by a message that this man preaches, tell him. It doesn't take anything. Just hang around and tell him. If you're encouraged by something that Teresa says on the phone or one of her anointed one-on-one meetings, let her know that you appreciate that. Tell them. Listen, they're gifts. That anointing is for them to do what they call. But they're human beings. They deserve to hear back from you. All of us. Can I get a better amen?
Amen.
We need to back up our words with our actions. Look to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Might want to stick a bookmark in there. We'll be coming back to that a little later. But verse 12 in the King James Bible says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know." Everybody say no.
No.
"Know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord." We need to know those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord. Pastor and Teresa, who labor among us, are a man and woman of God. They have authority, and they are looking out for your souls. I remember the day when I realized that Pastor had to give an account for me. I felt bad for him. I did. But that's what they do. That's what ministry gifts do. They give an account for you. Hold your place there. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. No, we're not going to read verse 5. We are going to read from the Amplified, but we're going to read verse 11. Amplified Classic. Hebrews 13:11, Amplified Classic, says, "Obey your spiritual leaders and submit to them." In brackets, you're going to like this. "Continually recognizing their authority over you. For they are constantly keeping watch over your souls and guarding your spiritual welfare. As men and women, who will have to render an account of their trust." Now our instructions. "Do your part to let them do this with gladness and not with sighing and groaning. For that would not be profitable to you either." When Pastor gives an account for me, I want him to be able to do it with joy. That should be our desire, church. So once we've received our ministry gift, each of us then has the responsibility to submit to their authority. You know, none of us know better than that man right there. We don't know better. I don't care what Satan wants to lie to you about. You do not know better than the man of God. Can I get a better amen? And you don't have to take my word for it. All right? We need to study them. Study them. Dean, are you making that up? No. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, we're going to read verses 8 and 9. This is the New Living Translation. "And now, brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And here it is in verse 9. Keep putting into practice all you have learned and received from me. This is Paul writing to the church in Philippi. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Church, I know that Pastor and Therese will be the first one to tell you that they are not the standard. That's Jesus. But any of us who do know them know that they lead by example. It's not do as I say, not as I do. They lead by example. I'm talking about relationship. The more you know someone, the better you can relate to them. Amen? It helps to know one's character if you plan to walk together. And if you're here, you plan to walk with our pastor. Till Jesus comes back. Amen? All right. The less you know a person, the more difficult it is to understand them. So if something happens and you're not understanding what's coming from the pulpit, you might want to get to know them better. Amen?
Amen.
Time for a little Greek lesson. The word translated no is Strong's G1492. E-I-D-O, it's pronounced I-do. I-do. It means to have regard for one, to pay attention to, and this is the one I like, to cherish. God gives you a gift, man. You got to cherish it. You got to cherish it. Listen to verse 12 from the Amplified Classic. Now also I beseech you, brethren, to get to know those who labor among you. Here it is. Recognize them for what they are. Acknowledge and appreciate and respect them all. Your leaders who are over you in the Lord and those who warn and kindly reprove and exhort you. And now the NLT. Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. I love that. Honor. I love that word, honor. I'm going to read to you from a book we'll talk a little bit more about. Let's read a couple paragraphs here. The office of pastor is representative of God in the local church. And God takes it personally when we fail to honor him through our shepherds. It's not that they are perfect or any less sinful than we are, but somehow in the economy of God, the way we treat our pastors reveals the attitude of our hearts to God. When a church fails to honor the office of pastor, no matter who the person is, the church dishonors God. To accuse and belittle a pastor without praying for him offends God. In other words, if we can't honor the pastor whom we can't see, how can we honor God whom we can't see? There is far too little honor given to our leaders in the body of Christ Church. Let's continue. 1 Thessalonians 5:13 again. 5:13 Amplified Classic. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, be at peace among yourselves. Notice it says esteem, not exalt. We exalt God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We esteem our pastor. Okay? Esteem is defined as follows. To regard highly or favorably. To regard with respect or admiration. To consider as of a certain value. And notice it doesn't say esteem them sort of highly. It doesn't say esteem them highly. It says very highly. Say that. Very highly. I will esteem my pastor very highly. In love. And why do we do that? For their work's sake. What's their work? Pastoring the church. Shepherding the church. And I will give you shepherds who will fill you with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. That's his work. Amen. Esteem them very highly because Jesus made him your pastor. Him and his wife. Okay, Brother Dean, how do we do that? Thank you for asking. Before I give you a list, I also want to read a note from this is a Life Application Study Bible note for 1 Thessalonians 12 and 13. It says, those who are your leaders in the Lord's work, how can you honor your pastor and other church leaders? Express your appreciation. Tell them you have been helped by their leadership and teaching, and thank them for their ministry in your life. If you say nothing, how will they know where you stand? Remember, they need and deserve your support and love. How do we esteem them very highly in love? I'm going to give you six ways. Number one is to be a blessing. Be a blessing. There are many things, many ways to bless them. Little things like being polite, causing unity. The end of verse 13 we just read says, be at peace among yourselves. How about smiling? My wife teases me all the time. She says, when you sing up front, all you do is stare at the ceiling. You look like Charlie Brown. Said, if you saw the faces I saw, you'd look at the ceiling too. How about encouraging them with an amen once in a while? How about encouraging him with an amen once in a while? They're all going to help to bless them, church. Amen? Number two, respect and honor the office. Respect and honor the title. Respect and honor, two of the most lacking attributes in our society today. But we are the body of Christ. We need to live to a higher standard. We need to live to a higher standard. That was also a good place to say amen.
Amen.
Our ministry gifts deserve to be called pastor. Listen, in the natural, we don't refer to our government leaders or our military leaders by their first names, do we? They deserve to be called by their title. I believe pastor holds the highest office in the land. A lot higher than the resident. A lot higher than the Congress. A lot higher than any military leader. The office of pastor is the highest office in the land. You can argue with me if you want to lose. This used to be challenging for me because he was my best friend in the church. I watched him go from he was a deacon when I got here, then I got him, watch him elevated to elder, then now he becomes my pastor. But that don't even slip anymore, does it? Don't even slip anymore. Number three, esteem him very highly with this thing right here, your mouth. Believe it or not, many people eat up and spit out their pastor every day. Yeah. Better not do that around Dean.
No, sir.
I will correct you. Mm-hmm. I have authority to correct you now. I would have corrected you before. But listen, other people judge and give poor confessions over his teachings, over his actions, over the decision he makes, over to music he picks. Begin to say good things. Say good things. You're falling asleep on me. I'm going to yell. Begin to say good things. And I'm not yelling at you, Mom. I'm just yelling at you. Also, here's a big one with me. Don't lower yourselves and even listen to it. That's gossiping with your ears. Either correct them or just simply walk away. But don't participate in that nonsense. We need to build them up, right? We need to esteem him with our mouths. Number four, be here when the doors are open. Be here when the doors are open. Church, I'm not talking about when you go on vacation. I'm not talking about when, Mr. Anthony texted me this morning, said he wouldn't be here. When work happens, it happens. You can pray that God changes your schedule, but when it doesn't happen, you can't be here. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about be here. Be here when you can be here. Let me ask you something. Does that include Wednesdays?
Yep.
Prayer night?
Yep.
Last Wednesday of every month?
Yep.
Not an option. Thank you. Thank you. It isn't. Where was I? Before we move on to number five, I want to read 1 Thessalonians 5:13 from the New Living Translation. Show them great respect. Say great respect.
Great respect.
And wholehearted love. Say that. Wholehearted love. Because of their work, and live peacefully with each other. And one more, 12 and 13, this is the message. And now, friends, we ask you to honor those leaders who work so hard for you, who have been given the responsibility of urging and guiding you along in your obedience. Overwhelm them with appreciation and love. I'll say that again. Overwhelm them with appreciation and love, and get along among yourselves. The doors are open every Sunday, church. Be here. They're open on Wednesdays, last Wednesday of every month. Be here. If you can be here for prayer on Mondays and Thursdays, be here. Get along among yourselves. Certainly getting along with each other is going to go a long way in honoring them, right? But I'll submit to you this morning that probably the best way, the way that we should be, is being a good steward over our gift by praying over them every single day. That's what the message is about, church. It's that prayer hedge, the hedge of protection that's around them. A couple of years ago, I received a notification on my phone that Dr. Mark Barclay was going to do a live Q&A with his congregation. It was a live stream, so I tuned in. And it was pretty cool because Vicky and him were the only two on stage. And Vicky read the questions from the congregation. And the one question that really touched me was, what can we as a congregation do to support you, our pastor, and help accomplish all that God's called you to do? His first answer was attendance. Be here for every service possible. And the second one was to pray and intercede. That man preaches all over the world, church. Those were his two. Be here and pray. He also said, and I like this too, you need to seek God. You need to seek God. Say, he's talking about me now. You need to seek God and develop your gift, because he was not the only one called to serve that church.
Say that again, brother.
Yeah. Many years ago, Pastor Bannon sowed this book into our congregation. Called Prayed On or Prayed For. It's written by a Methodist pastor. And I just want to read a couple more paragraphs from it. It says, without a personal prayer life, a strong hedge of protection, and the blessing which comes through the intercession of the congregation. A strong hedge of protection and the blessing. Remember, one of the first thing I said was we need to bless them, right? Which comes through the intercession of the congregation, a pastor stands little chance of long-term success. He's got 7 years under his belt, church. We must be doing something right. But we're not there yet. In all probability, the hands of pastors who are not prayed for will grow too tired. They will fall to their sides and the battle will be lost. It is imperative that we, the church, rise to the challenge and begin to hedge our pastor with our prayers. Will you begin to raise up a prayer hedge in your church? My answer was yes. Will you be the one to pray for your pastor like the early church did, with enough tenacity to save him from deadly peril?
Yes.
Weak. Will you?
Yes.
Will your pastor be prayed on? Yes. Or prayed for? No. It's up to you. One more. Exodus 17 gives us a powerful and very literal model of what pastoral support looks like. In the passage that much of this book is based on, he wrote the book based on this passage. In it, Pastor Moses was having a hard time. At Rephidim, the Israelites were short on water and they blamed Moses, blamed the pastor. They called a meeting of the BTE committee, the Back to Egypt committee. What did they do? They grumbled against him and generally carved him up because of their troubles. When he heard about their meeting, Moses was frustrated and he asked the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." So the Lord came to his rescue. He provided water and the BTE committee adjourned. Moses probably thought his troubles were over, but just as everyone settled down, the Amalekites attacked. Moses ordered Joshua into battle and Aaron and Hur to the top of the hill to pray. As he watched the battle, he lifted his hands over the people. We read, as long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. That's Exodus 17:11. As the battle dragged on, Aaron and Hur noticed Moses' hands were growing tired. And they quickly discerned that the danger of this might cause the Israelites. So Aaron and Hur found a large stone and sat their pastor on it between them, with one on one side and one on the other. They held up his arms so that Moses' hands, quote, remained steady until sunset. That was verse 12. The end result was a victory for the people of God. What a beautiful demonstration of support for a tired, battle-worn pastor. We don't have one of those.
No.
We're not going to have one of those. No. Although you will probably never have an occasion to physically support your pastor's arms, the picture of Moses, Aaron, and Hur on the hill is a symbolic expression of what happens when you pray for your pastor. On one side, pastors need prayer, protection for themselves and their families. We are battling an enemy, according to John 10:10, who comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. He preys on pastors with an arsenal of destructive forces. Listen to Dr. Teckel's definition of a prayer hedge. He says it's more than dashing off a few prayer phrases once in a while on the pastor's behalf. Not good enough. We got to live to a higher standard. But rather, a hedge of people recruited, trained, aimed, and motivated to consistently, say consistently, pray for the pastor. Consistency is the key, church. We've been taught the one thing Satan has over the Christian is his consistency. He's studying you 24/7, 365, except on leap year, and he goes the extra 24.
Amen.
We got to have tenacity.
Yes.
Jerry, who did that? did a teaching. The tenacity of a weed. He did it right here. Kenneth Copeland Ministries, Jerry, what's his last name? It was Bert's favorite pastor. That's what he taught on. You have to have the tenacity of a weed. That's us. We need to maintain the hedge, church. That's the purpose of the whole message this morning, is maintenance. The book lists seven areas in your pastor's life and ministry that are most likely to come under attack: private, family, praise, prayer, professional, preaching, persevering. Life. Private life, family life, prayer life, professional life, preaching life, persevering life. And I realize we don't know how to pray, always know how to pray for our pastor. This is another reason why you need to receive your personal prayer language, praying in the Spirit, so powerful. It's a gift also. You need to come get it. You need to receive it and take advantage of it. I found several good resources that I studied for the message, and I'm going to share. I was going to share several of them with you, but we have something else we need to do this morning. So I'm going to cut it down. Maybe I'll get these printed out and have them put back in the back. That's probably a good idea. But this one's called Eight Highly Practical Prayers to Pray Over Your Leaders. Our pastors and leaders are gifts to the body of Christ, and as a result, serve on the front lines of the battle of faith. Saturday night can be one of the toughest times on the front lines for a pastor. You got witness to that? Any night before he feeds the sheep can be stressful. Why? Because the pastor's number one enemy targets him for distractions. Pastor friend of mine said, if I was an enemy to pastors, I would do my best to keep them confused, distracted, in debt, in pain in their life, and especially before any message delivering the Word of God. For I know, the devil knows, all it takes is one word from God to change a life. Devil don't like it when you preach truth, church.
That's right.
And that's all our pastor teaches from the pulpit. In fact, that's all that ever goes out from this pulpit. The author asks a question. He says, with that in mind, are you diligent enough to pray for our men and women God has called as leaders? They need your prayerful attention on a consistent, there that word is again, basis. We encourage you to pray according to God's word always. We offer no formulas, just suggestions and tips to pray. Here are eight practical suggestions to pray over your authority. Are you ready? Number one, pray the prayer of agreement. Every leader needs the agreement of their followers. Number two, pray the prayer of safety. We live in a dangerous, violent world, yet God watches over His word to perform it. Pray that your leaders dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and they remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no enemy can withstand. Thank God for the angels that He has given special charge over our pastor to accompany, defend, and preserve in all his ways of obedience and service. That's Isaiah 26:3 and Psalm 91. Number three, pray the prayer of peace. Pray that God grants your pastor peace that surpasses all understanding in mind, body, and spirit. Pray that God grants them a peaceful dwelling place. Because we live in a fallen world, we may not always be able to enjoy a peaceful environment. But God can give us peace in the midst of the storm. Pray the prayer of peace for your pastor. Colossians 3:15. Number four, pray the prayer of healing. Everybody say healing.
Healing
cometh on my pastor. Jesus paid a horrible price through his death, burial, and resurrection, that we might have life abundantly. Won't you pray that your pastor receives healing whenever needed? Pray that he will prosper, stay in good health, even as his soul prospers. 3 John 2. Number 5, pray the prayer of wisdom and revelation. Pray that the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon our pastor through the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge. Ask that God will fill your leaders with this knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's Isaiah 11:2 and Colossians 1:9-13. Number 6, pray the prayer of family blessing. Sometimes if the enemy can't get to the man or woman of God, he will target their family members. Pray that God grants them the joy of having every member of their families saved and healthy. Ask their family life to be blessed with special love and harmony. Number 7, pray the prayer of intercession. Thank Father God for Jesus, whoever lives, to make intercession for us. But many times in our human thinking, we don't know what we should pray. Don't forget to periodically ask the Holy Spirit to show you what to pray for your pastor. Then faithfully stand in the gap that he may continue to walk victoriously in every area. That's Hebrews 7:25. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30. You don't have to turn there. It says this. And I sought for a man among them that should make up a hedge. And then the last part says, but I found none. God forbid we allow that to happen on our watch, church. God forbid. And finally, number 8, the prayer of financial blessing. Pray that God would prosper them and give them health and bless them financially. Ask God to give them helpers who are full of the Spirit of wisdom, to whom they can safely delegate the detailed duties and free them up to give themselves to prayer and the ministry of the Word. Church, every time I teach this, I make mention that pre-service prayer is our training ground. And I've seen a disappointing trend, if you will. We need to be in the sanctuary during that time. I love the fellowship as much as anybody. But from 9:30 to 10 is only a half hour. It's not too much to ask. And it's vital. It's not only vital for the service, it's vital for you. That gives you the time to prepare this, your heart, to receive the anointed word that comes from the pulpit. I know it's important to touch base with people, but that's not the time. Amen. It's awfully quiet in this church this morning. That's okay. Save all your amens for Pastor when he's back. The theme, I guess, is to pray the Scriptures. And we have people who demonstrate that here. So you need to come out. You need to join us. And we're not going to stick a microphone in your face and put you on the spot. But you need to be here to agree. But whether you pray in the Scriptures or in the Holy Spirit or simply just say, please help my pastor, you're adding to that hedge that's so vital. You're adding to it. You're standing in the gap. That's what intercession means, to stand in the gap. The bottom line is this. We, as a church family, need to make the prayer hedge a priority. We have to commit to it. And remember, consistency is the key. We only know in part what our ministry gift goes through, church. But you'll never hear him or Teresa ever complain because they're God called and they're God equipped. But again, I exhort you this morning to stand in the gap for each of them and their family. Pastor Jack, Teresa, his daughter Leanne, his daughter Crystal, his son, Joe, granddaughter, Gwen, grandson, Jack, Teresa's sister, Vicky, her brother, Anthony, pastor's brothers, Bob and Daryl, his sister, Shirley, and his dog, Leia. They deserve it. He's earned it. They deserve it. It's up to us to make it happen. Amen. Charles, if you wouldn't mind, go get Teresa and Leanne and bring all the kids in. I'm going to close with this, church. This is a scriptural prayer. It's from prayinginvictory.com. Join your faith with me, church. It says, Father, I thank you that Pastor Jack and Teresa are faithful and that you preserve them, that they abound with blessings and do not grow weary in well-doing, that you who began a good work in them will perfect it. They are your workmanship created in Christ Jesus and equipped in every good thing to do your will. Work in them that which is pleasing in your sight. Let all grace abound toward them, having sufficiency in all things and in abundance for every good work. Because they have sowed bountifully, they will reap bountifully. And whatever they plant or water, Father, you give the increase. I pray that they continually triumph in Christ, diffusing the fragrance of his knowledge in every place, that all blessing come upon them and overtake them because they obey the voice of their God. Instruct them and teach them in the way they should go. Reveal the deeper things of God to them by your Spirit. Let them be vessels of honor, sanctified and useful for the Master, prepared for every good work. Shepherding the flock willingly, eagerly, and being an example to them. Their speech and preaching is in demonstration of the Spirit and power, and they are instant in season and out of season to preach the word. Every place the soles of their feet tread upon has been given to them. They are strong and of good courage for you, Lord. Go with them. They wait on you, and you strengthen them in their heart. Help them set in order things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city. I tear down the strongholds over the pulpit. I lift up our pastor and cover him and Teresa with the blood of Jesus. Sickness and disease shall in no way come near them. For they are redeemed from the curse of the law. I say that no weapon formed against them will prosper, and every tongue rising against them shall be shown to be in the wrong. Father, let the gifts and anointings on their life come forth. Birth the things that you have spoken to them in their hearts as they continually give themselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. In Jesus' name, amen.